The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hi, my name is Astronautilus, and when I'm not busy twinking out my druids in World of Warcraft and painting all my figurines and my Space Wolves army for Warhammer 40K, I like to listen to Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hey, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this episode, we're going to be talking to Weird Al Yankovic, or I am, anyway. Oh. We've done an interview.
And we're just going to be jealous of you.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all jealous. Staring with green eyes.
Let me feel it. Let me feel those beams, those piercing beams.
Passive-aggressive sigh.
Weird Al's recently put out his brand new record, Mandatory Fun. So as of this episode coming out, the record's out. The videos are out. He's released 8 videos in 8 days.
We have listened and watched to them all, as so the Grand Master decreed.
Yeah, though right now, you guys haven't seen or heard shit.
I'm living in the future, Cap. Stop living in the past.
Al and I will be talking about the record in the interview, but also in this episode... I mean, aren't we all in a first... Mr. Yankovic will be...
I would still call him Mr. Yankovic.
Mr. Yankovic is my father.
Well, you see, we're not BFFs with him like Cap is.
Right.
Or is it WFFs, Weird Friends Forever?
We'll be playing the interview shortly. We also wanted to talk about... We got this cast here. We thought we'd talk about our memories with Weird Al, our favorite songs, favorite moments. Over at Consequence of Sound, we actually have a number of articles. Not only is there a transcript of this interview that you're going to be hearing during this episode, but also there's a Best of Weird Al list we've made, where we've taken best movie songs, best album cover, best video, best fake interview, best pop parody, stuff like that. It was a very, very complicated procedure. We had the spreadsheet, right?
They took it very seriously.
Practically every category, all 5 of us that contributed to this article had a different answer for every single one. In most cases, and there had to be a lot of debate about like, okay, well, is this one win because of nostalgia, or is it like actually the best one?
And then you each picked your favorite weapon and engaged in a duel to the death.
Yeah, it was the eat it battle with the forks and the bound wrists. So we did that. It's turned out really well. And then also there's, of course, the obligatory album review of Mandatory Fun.
Obligatory for mandatory. Sounds right.
Yeah.
It feels good, man.
So, my first Weird Al record was Bad Hair Day.
Really? That just seems like such a late album.
Well, I mean, reason being that generally, and this is, I think, statistically accurate, the time that people are most likely to get into Weird Al is around like 5th, 6th grade, middle school, become aware of him. Because I didn't grow up with cable, and therefore things like Al TV and the possibility of seeing like pop-up videos or any reruns of his videos, or UHF on cable for that matter, basically on network television as it was at the time in the 90s, there was no opportunities for me to see, experience, or interact with Weird Al at all.
Right. And I will second Cap, because my first exposure to Weird Al was Bad Hair Day on cassette tape.
I will third that.
Wow.
The first CD I ever owned, period, was Bad Hair Day.
None of you are true fans.
No, wait. While my first experience was the food album, the collection of food related
right.
songs on cassette, my first live concert ever was Weird Al at the Bad Hair Day tour.
Wow.
We can't escape it. We're all living in that Amish paradise together.
But yeah, my mom raised me on Weird Al. That was one of the first things I remember.
Actually, during the Running with Scissors tour, there was a near brush with destiny where our video game correspondent, Jonna, who was much younger than me at the time, as in like an age group that would not socialize with each other, we were both attending that same concert. We found out years later.
I think I went to that tour. That was also my first live performance ever.
Nice. I've never seen Weird Al live. I don't remember the first album that we had. My dad had one of the CDs. And I remember that's where I first heard it. But the first album that I got that was like mine was Alapalooza.
Yeah.
And I just listened to that thing because also Jurassic Park was super popular. So like I had to get it on top of that. So being a Weird Al fan and Jurassic Park fan, it was like made for me. That was my first exposure.
What's your favorite parody song and what's your favorite original song?
Okay, I want to get this out off my chest here. Mark with a C did an episode of Real Congregation not so very long ago about the Weird Al originals. That was a very divisive episode because everybody has an opinion about what the best Weird Al originals are.
Mm-hmm.
And he got all kinds of like angry or like what the fuck kind of messages after he did it. And there was a song that I feel very strongly about as being like Weird Al's like greatest achievement with solo songs that not only was not recognized in that episode of Real Congregation, but also unfortunately didn't make it in the Consequence of Sound list. I got beat out. And that is Hardware Store.
Oh, yes.
You know what? That was actually one that I was going to list. His breakdown of various things that you can purchase in a hardware store is...
It's also catchy.
It is ridiculous.
Like, the production for that and the writing, everything about that song is so complex.
Hardware Store got shafted on that? No one.
I've never seen Hardware Store listed on a Best of Original Songs list. And it sucks because that one... I mean, hey, I love Albuquerque, but like the thing about Albuquerque is that Albuquerque is a very direct and controversial style parody.
Yes, it is. No, it's practically is a parody of Dick's Automotive by the Rugburns. Like, if you listen to Dick's Automotive by the Rugburns, you'll go, this is Albuquerque. But this happened before Albuquerque. Albuquerque is a parody of this. Why is this not labeled as a parody of this?
He gave the band a special thanks in the following album, actually.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know what happened there. And we don't talk about it in the interview, but Hardware Store, when we're talking about Weird Al original songs and not style parodies, Hardware Store is 100% original. As far as I know, it's not a style parody at all.
Right. I was going to ask about style parodies, because if we were excluding style parodies, then that opens up like, well, I really like Dare to Be Stupid, but...
Right.
Yeah. Didn't someone from Devo, I think, actually listen to Dare to Be Stupid and got mad?
Yeah, that was Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah, he said that Weird Al wrote a better Devo song than Devo did.
and I believe the quote is, and I hate him for it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that was meant to be tongue-in-cheek. They kind of hang in the same circle.
Yeah, he hates him, but he's like...
just like, this is so perfect. How could you do it so seamlessly? Like,
how did he beat me at my own game?
This is newbie with his caterpillar mustache. I don't understand.
I think my favorite memory of Al, just getting into that real quick, is how much everybody loves him, because he is one of the most respected individuals in the music industry, it seems like. There's nobody with a bad word to say against him.
And I loved during the 90s that it was a badge of honor when you were parodied by Weird Al. Like, Kurt Cobain is like, I made it because Weird Al parodied me.
Well, I mean, it still is, unless you're Iggy Azalea and you don't know who the hell he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately...
Iggy Azalea seems kind of ignorant anyway.
Fortunately, Iggy Azalea does not represent the standard population of even of pop musicians, so that's okay.
So we're going to do the rundown of original and parody favorites?
We know Caps, Hardware Store, and I'm going to jump in and say that my favorite original, it's kind of a toss-up because I love that. I also love Horoscope because of his breakdown of horoscopes in the middle. Or The Night Santa Went Crazy, just for nostalgic reasons. In terms of my favorite parody, it's got to be either The Saga Begins or Amish Paradise. Saga Begins because, I mean, that song hit right when I was in the throngs.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect.
The throngs
of
episode one fandom before I got really, really, really disappointed. That is a better version of the movie than the movie.
Well, mostly because it cuts out the dialogue.
It also came out before that and still managed to get the film right.
Yeah.
Not to mention, Weird Al in those Obi-Wan robes, that's my Obi-Wan.
Of course it is.
Hicks.
Style parody, it has to be Dare to Be Stupid. That's my absolute favorite. Second up is actually CNR from the latest album. I really enjoy that.
Previous latest album.
Previous.
From Alpocalypse, not Mandatory Fun.
Yeah.
In Hex's head, there was nothing after the Alpocalypse because we were all kind of recovering from it. It's like picking between children.
Yeah. Because like Party in the CIA is pretty freaking brilliant. You know what? I this is something that I can't decide. I can't. I just...
What's your favorite food-based song?
Yeah, ye of the food cassette.
It's my bologna. It's my bologna. It's just my bologna? So perfect.
Not
it's
lasagna?
So, no. My bologna is just so like pure, unadulterated Al. It's his first song. It is the thing that got him big.
Well, that was another one, Rides the Bus.
Yeah.
Well, his first
that
food
was,
song.
That was his first song.
Yeah, no, that's the one I was thinking of. That was the big one, that it was just him and his drummer drumming on his accordion case.
Yeah.
My pick for best food song was a theme from Rocky 13.
Nice.
that's my favorite. Love that one so
but
much.
Yeah, My Bologna is my favorite song, my favorite food song.
Rocky Road. Nice. I love Rocky Road. Absolutely. I can't hear I Love Rock and Roll without replacing the words in my head. Like this.
I think it's a better song. I think it's one of those. There's a few of them, and that's one of them.
I got to give it up to Grapefruit Diet.
Yeah,
Grapefruit Diet is also a pretty brilliant song.
I love Swing.
What I'm hearing is, Tony, you got a full-on nostalgia boner for Running with Scissors.
Yeah, I do.
You're like, but you know that one song from Running with Scissors, though.
Well,
I understand. It's a thing that happens. Like, you'll always remember your first Weird Al album, and that'll be the one that best represents where you're coming from.
Your tastes or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Kind of like your first version of D&D that you play. From that point on, you're always arguing which one was better.
Well, 4th edition is my first one, and I'll argue against 4th edition at any opportunity. Wow.
For me, I don't know. It is hard to pick. Like, I asked everybody what their favorites are because I just wanted to help decide what mine were because I can't really decide.
Jackass.
For original song, The Night Santa Went Crazy is one of the first original songs that he did that I, like, memorized just because it was just so much fun. But as far as like the parody songs go, the one that I just learned and repeated over and over was Amish Paradise, because the original one was everywhere.
Oh yeah, it was.
So when
Gangsta's Paradise was,
yeah.
And I'll absolutely bottled lightning with that. And something that we had a discussion of, like, what really was the best album on Consequence, and we were conflicted over because we were competing against our own nostalgia factors for things. But eventually we rationalized that it was Bad Hair Day more so than any other record that said Weird Al is not a fad. Weird Al is never going away.
Right.
Weird Al, he's got a staple. He is the king of this. Yeah.
And clearly, because I'm a fan of movies, all of his movie related ones, like Gump, even Gump, I was just like, I just loved it because I was a movie going kid and a Weird Al fan. So everything related to a movie was somehow, it just stuck out to me more.
Here's a question. What's a Weird Al parody you know that you either originally had never heard the source song or still have to this day never heard the source song?
Wow. At the time, I hadn't heard Ride and Dirty. I'd heard White and Nerdy.
Really? How'd you? Man, that was tricky. You're avoiding that one.
It was a gift. I don't know. I missed it. I actually didn't hear Ride and Dirty in full until a recent Luigi Death Stare video that had it as a background. So
I think it was All About the Pentiums?
Yeah, that was
All About the Benjamins.
Yeah, I've never heard the whole song of All About the Benjamins. I still don't think I've heard the original song all the way through. There was a time when every single parody song that was put online, whether it was on Kazaa,
was attributed
to Weird Al, and it clearly wasn't most of the time.
Okay. I ran over the Taco Bell dog, courtesy of Weird Al Yankovic.
Did you guys see something he tweeted recently? You know, there's always been people who aren't real fans call him Weird Al Yankovic, right?
Mm. What?
Yeah. Fucking iTunes did it. It was like the top of his iTunes page the other day said Weird Al Yankovic. In the style,
how do you get that wrong?
It was a text within a graphic, and someone who designed the graphic had added an H at the end of it. It was in the style of the mandatory fun art.
Weird.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, for me, with the identified song, Syndicated Incorporated from Bad Hair Day, I still have never heard the original song.
Really?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what it is.
Isn't it Frustrated Incorporated? It's from the same band that Kevin Smith loves, puts him at the end of all of his movies.
Parody of Misery by Soul Asylum.
That's what it was.
That makes sense now.
Because it's, you know, the Frustrated Incorporated.
I don't know that, actually.
Yeah. It's at the end of Clerks 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I have heard it, but I walked out of the theater while it was happening. You know, All About the Pentiums, I think about that song quite a bit because, like, it's fizzled out now, its relevancy, but the way he wrote it, he's so smart about picking topical things. It was written in such a way so that all those computer technology related disses, they held up for years and years and years after that song.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I still remember the, you think your Commodore 64 is really neato? What kind of chip you got in there? A Dorito?
And that is still relevant. Like,
yeah. I just remembered another song that I never heard the full song. I Lost on Jeopardy.
I recently, for the first time ever, heard that on the radio. I'm like, oh, is this?
Yeah,
this?
No, it was, the song was ruined for me.
Yeah.
I mean, which is fine with me because I love I Lost on Jeopardy.
I'm just saying, like, I'm Lost on Jeopardy.
Exactly. What is it? I was listening to my car and I mean, oh, this must be the song. And
bringing it back around to Star Wars, Yoda.
Wait, so you never heard Lola before you heard
really?
Yoda?
No.
Oh, wow.
I started and
he's a youngling.
Yeah.
I don't remember the songs, what the title was, but it's like, or something like that on the album.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's by the Crash Test Dummies.
I never heard the original song.
I became a huge fan of Crash Test Dummies after looking up that song because of the parody. Actually,
yeah, and I had somehow seen that video on MTV before the parody came out. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I get it.
So much love for Al in this room.
Okay, oh, how about this? Favorite polka medley?
This was another topic for consequence. My pick was actually Angry White Boy Polka. It's such a strong collection of a very specific genre of music, and he's only done that a couple times.
Yeah.
The other one that won was the other time he did that, which is the Alternative Polka,
which is my personal favorite.
That's my personal favorite, too. That's the one that resonates most with me.
I say one, but I mean, it was a group consensus, but like, you know, we were all really passionate making this list. It got very intense.
I'm going to, either of those is I'm fine with. I do just have to give an honorable mention to Polkemon.
Yeah, that is actually my number two for sure, because because it was on the soundtrack, the American soundtrack to the first Pokemon movie, it's a relatively unknown Weird Al song. But it's such a well thought out collection of rhyming the Pokemon names. It's much better than anything Nintendo or the people who dubbed Pokemon.
I don't know what you're talking about. The Pokemon rap is genius, sir.
Yeah, no, Pokemon any day of the week. It's a great, great polka.
Yeah.
The Alternative Polka, that's the one for me too.
Yeah.
I also do have a confession to make that basically whenever I get a new Weird Al album, the first track I go to is the polka.
there's nothing wrong with that.
It's sort of like the current events up to date.
Do I get all these references? Almost.
Because this was when I was just getting into music. I was like 12 when I bought that album. I was perfect age. I was a dumb kid.
I was a dumb kid, so I loved Weird Al. Is that what you're trying to say?
I didn't really have taste in music at that. Like, I was like, this is funny. I like this. This is good. And then I started listening to the local radio. And I was like, oh, I recognize this song. That's okay. Yeah, that was on that Weird Al song. Oh, that's awesome.
So Weird Al gave you good taste in music?
Yeah, Weird Al kind of funneled me into having good taste in music.
And there's something to be said for that. He's really good at introducing you to other songs you might not have known that he's so close to in sound that odds are you'll enjoy the thing it's based on, too.
Yeah.
Trapped at the Drive-Thru?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Man. That's Trapped at the Drive-Thru. I had heard the first song of Trapped in the Closet, and I was familiar, so I was able to get Trapped at the Drive-Thru, but for some reason I didn't know that Trapped in the Closet went on for multiple volumes after that. So I watched Trapped at the Drive-Thru and I'm like, this is freaking great. And then it's like, yeah, because there's multiple chapters. And I'm like, what? So then I went back and I watched all the chapters of Trapped in the Closet just because of the animated drive-thru thing. And it was great.
Mark with a C has a lot of thoughts on that.
He's huge into Trapped in the Closet.
There's so many people I've met who I thought they're in terms of cool and pop culture awareness that are one level or several levels above me. When I mention Trapped in the Closet, they go, oh my God, you too? So I feel like I'm part of a club, or in a closet, if you will, with these fellow fans, and it's great.
Well, we're going to cut to a track, and when we get back, I'll be talking with Weird Al himself. This is a track from a fantastic Weird Al tribute record made several years ago called 26 and a Half. It's a selection of mostly covers of Al's originals by awesome nerd musicians, like MC Frontalot, Insane Ian, Shale Riley, and many more. Here's one by our very own Mark with a C, covering the country love ballad from Al's 1986 record, Polka Party, Good Enough for Now.
Oh, I couldn't live a single day without you. Actually, on second thought, well, I suppose I could. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, honey, you're the greatest. Well, at any rate, you're pretty good. Now it seems to me I'm relatively lucky. I know I probably couldn't ask for too much more. I honestly can't say you're an above average lady. You're almost just what I've been looking for. Pretty close.
Welcome back. With me is Weird Al Yankovic. So, Al, we're back on the new Weird Al record every 3 years release schedule. It's really good to have you back, nice and regular.
Well, thanks. I'm not sure how much regular it's going to be at this point because this is the end of my record contract, and I'm not sure that I'm even going to be doing conventional albums anymore. I might be just releasing singles at this point. So it's hard to say, but chances are you'll be hearing from me even more regularly than before.
That's actually awesome to hear. I remember, like, the last record, Alpocalypse, it had some substantial development hiccups based on the record labels and so on, so that's great. I mean, I welcome this new era.
Thanks. I mean, the music industry has been changing so much radically in the last decade or two that we're all just trying to figure out the best way to make a go of it, and I'm still trying to figure it out, but hopefully I'll come up with the right formula.
Speaking of formulas, maybe this will become irrelevant in the new era of Al, but I was listening to your old song Patterns from the educational show Square One.
Oh, wow.
It got me thinking, you're a very pattern-oriented guy. You've got, like, this process to album making. You got a new record every 3 years, 12 tracks, 5 song parodies, 6 style parodies, and 1 polka. And that all equals 27.
I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm a little OCD that way. I mean, I like consistency. I like symmetry. I like things in their place. You might not know from looking at my house because I've got stuff all over the place in the creative funk. But in terms of my art, I do like neatness and consistency. And I found out a long time ago that a formula of 6 originals, 5 parodies, and a polka medley, that seemed like a good balance. So once I find something that works, I tend to stick with it.
I guess for the last few albums, there's been this long development cycle. This most recent record has, like, recordings as early as 2012 and as recent as June of this year.
I start the originals pretty early on because I know that they can sit in the can for a while and not feel too dated. So I get a good head start on those and take my time and get those written and recorded and mixed and mastered and just have them there and waiting. And that way I'm able to do the parodies last and have those be a lot more fresh and topical. I think maybe the oldest parodies on this album are Blurred Lines and the Radioactive parodies, which I think are close to a year old at this point. And then the most recent being the Iggy Azalea parody, which, you know, her song as of right now is still number one on the chart. So I was able to time that out pretty well. But it's always a puzzle to try to put an album's worth of material out and still have everything feel as fresh as possible.
You called it well on the ones that have been out for a year. I mean, they're still on the radio. And personally, I mean, this just speaks to what I listen to, but I knew you were parodying Iggy Azalea because that's what's been written about largely, but I heard Handy before I heard Fancy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was depending a little bit on my daughter to be my ears on the ground because, you know, I study the Billboard charts and I'm aware of what's happening in the zeitgeist, but you never really know if something's hit mainstream unless it's a hit in the sixth grade. So I had to ask my daughter, like, are people talking about Iggy Azalea? And she said, oh yeah, that's all they ever talk about. So I knew it was time.
That's a really great barometer.
Yeah.
As always, you've delivered on the parody front. Like, generally, you make songs that I can't stand likable or even lovable. Like, Parting the CIA from the last album, I think Miley Cyrus may have been born so that you could write that parody. It's one of my all-time favorites of yours.
Well, thank you. I've heard from fans that said that they would be humming my song, like, randomly in public, and their friends would say, are you humming Miley Cyrus? And they say, no, I'm humming Weird Al.
I'm always most excited to hear your style parodies, though. I imagine as a musician, they must be really fun projects.
They are. I mean, it's a challenge because it involves a whole lot more work than just doing a normal kind of original song, because not only is it an original composition, but I have to try to emulate another artist or group style as closely as possible, which involves, you know, a lot of research and note-taking, and it really is a labor of love. I always pick artists who I really admire, and I've got a real affinity for their work, and I spend a lot of time just listening to their entire body of work over and over until it kind of seeps into my brain, and then I try to write my own twisted version of it.
Mission Statement, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash parody, and First World Problems, the Pixies parody, are two of my favorites from this record. Which of the style parodies on Mandatory Fun was the most challenging for you?
They all have their own set of challenges. Probably, the one that was the most work was Jackson Park Express, just because that was sort of that's the epic closer on the album. That's over 9 minutes long. And just because of the sheer length of it and the production, I mean, I'm very proud of the production on that. It's got, you know, a real string section and horns and background singers, and it's pretty full blown. And I'm very happy with the way that one turned out.
I really like the more recent Weird Al tradition of the gigantic, super length storytelling kind of closer number you do. And Jackson Park Express was great. I have lots of questions about it. I've only listened to it through a few times now. Is it about a Chicago bus route? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I picked it actually off the internet. I've never actually been on the Jackson Park Express, but I wanted to do a song about a bus route. And I just kind of went online and I looked at a bunch of names of bus routes, and the name Jackson Park Express sounded the most musical. Now, Jackson Park Express, yeah, that's got like nice percussive sounds and it's got a nice rhythm to it. Let's go with that. Then I studied the bus route and said, okay, well, the bus gets off here and I can have this happening on this intersection. And I just did the whole thing from my laptop, never having once actually ridden the Jackson Park Express, which I'm sure I will at some point in the future now that I've written this song. It's sort of like when I did Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota. I'd never been to the Twine Ball in Darwin, Minnesota. But of course, after the song became a big hit with fans, I had to make a pilgrimage like everybody else and to pay homage to the Twine Ball.
I didn't even know the Twine Ball was real. That's like...
Oh, it's absolutely real. I didn't actually make the trip talked about in the song, but it is absolutely a real, honest-to-goodness roadside attraction.
Man, okay, that's something I'm doing with my life now. Not exclusively, but a thing that's happening.
The funny thing of that song was, like, after I did the song, a lot of the things I just kind of riffed on in the song that didn't exist at the time, now they're real. Like, there wasn't really a Twine Ball in when I wrote the song. But now there is, because it's a song.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, actually, The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota is probably my favorite track from the UHF soundtrack and other stuff.
Oh, thanks.
And this month is the 25th anniversary of UHF.
It is, I know. There's some news that I wish I could tell you about, but I'm sworn to secrecy, but there's going to be some something going on later this year regarding UHF.
Oh, that's awesome.
I cannot say it. But yeah, I'm very excited about it. I've been to Tulsa a couple times to do some anniversary screenings and to do some Q&A stuff. And it's a movie that I'm so proud of. I mean, it took a while to find its audience. I remember being a little depressed at the full reception it got upon release in 1989, but over the decades, it really built up its audience on cable TV and on DVD, and now it's a beloved cult film, but it took a while to get there.
It's huge. My friends and I, that's where like our entire visual comedic timing maybe stems from, or at least a huge contributing factor, so it's left its mark.
Oh, wow. That's really gratifying to hear. Thank you.
Recently, you played Isaac Newton in Epic Rap Battles, and your rap absolutely killed. There was no contest, really.
I wish I could take credit for it, but that was all those guys. That was all Nice Peter and Epic Lloyd.
Wow.
They offered to let me write my own rap, and I said, you know, you guys are the best at what you do. You've got this down. I mean, I could do it, but I don't think I could improve on the kind of stuff you guys do already. So I basically just went into a talent and just, you know, put on the wig and did it. That was one of the reasons I wanted to work with those guys, because they do some of the best stuff online. Their stuff is consistently really, really fun, really strongly put together. It's like you don't have to worry about it sucking. Like, when you go into the Simpsons and they say, we're going to write a song for you, you don't go, yeah, I better check that out. I'm not sure if it's going to be any good. You know, it's like if you work with talented people that you trust, you don't have to have this kind of concern.
As of this recording, I haven't seen any of the videos because none of them are out, but most of them, or maybe all of them, will be out by the time this interview's out. And obviously, I'd like to ask questions about them. I don't know. Is there anything that, any kind of behind-the-scenes video stuff that's worth noting that might not be directly apparent to anybody who's seen what's out so far?
The first video is tacky, and it's supposed to be sort of kind of like the Happy videos, and it's basically just a one-take shot of a guy walking around. And it's me and five other celebrities. It's Jack Black, Eric Stone Street, Kristen Schaal, Margaret Cho, and Aisha Tyler.
Wow.
So basically, all five of us are walking through this building, and we go down an elevator, and it winds up out on the street. And it's all done in one take. I have never done that before, so it's a one-take video from start to finish. And we went through it six times, and we wound up using the sixth take. So what was interesting about that was I start the video, and I finish the video. But in between, I have to run down five flights of stairs and change my clothes while everybody else is doing their bit. So for every single take, I got this mad dash while changing my clothes. So I'm sure I lost a little bit of weight that day.
That's awesome. Al, thanks so much for chatting. It's been awesome.
Nice to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Hopefully, once that UHF news drops, maybe we'll be able to talk with him again. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes!
Hex is about to pull his hair out of his head.
Do what?
One of the most exciting things that we touched on there was that Weird Al's record contract is ending, and we may see this whole new Weird Al Yankovic. Remember when Headline News came out, Mm-mm-mm was a very recent hit, and all of the headline topics that he mentions in the song were extremely topical, and that was very rare for him. It was going to be on Bad Hair Day, but then it was so old that he didn't end up including it on it once the record came out, and it was only featured on like his second greatest hits volume or something.
Topicality is a big deal for parody. I mean, the internet has proven that a parody can pop up for a song hours after it initially drops, so to have that relevance back with Al, the biggest and best name in
it is very likely that that's what's going to happen.
The issue with that kind of topicality is staying power, because if it's so topical, if it's just a flash in the pan, people aren't going to remember it.
What if the UHF announcement is a YouTube channel?
Doug, that would be ridiculous. Doug, that would be incredible.
Wow.
Doug, do you understand what you're saying right now?
That's why I said it. Yeah.
All right. So guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please support Nerdy Show. We're an entirely listener supported podcast network, and we rely on your hard earned money.
Love. And money.
And if you
hug us with dollars full of fists,
if you send us even a dollar, we'll send you hours upon hours worth of outtakes and all kinds of like dramatic readings and weird stuff. You're going to go head over feet for it. You're going to lose your goddamn mind when you hear these things. Just donate today to the Church of Nerdy Show.
And you almost might not regret it.
Find your salvation, brothers and sisters. Seriously, though, we need it takes us $300 a month to run the entire network of shows and our 24/7 nerd music radio station, Nerdy FM. So anything you guys can chip in would be much appreciated. And we do, of course, show you our gratitude by sending you cool stuff. In fact, I've got to give some shout outs to some awesome people who helped line the Nerdy Show coffers this past week. First up is Damien, who said, "This is love for Pokeballs of Steelix and Dungeons and Doritos. Fantastic work on the shows, guys. Much love." Sean Lawlor said, "Dungeons and Doritos is always worth the price of admission, but I'm also really looking forward to the Cthulhu miniseries and more lightning dogs. Howl noise." Well, let me help you out with that howl noise. Arrrr! More lightning dogs is coming real soon, dude. In fact, the next two episodes of Nerdy Show are devoted to it. And Anthony Del Monte said, "Sorry it's not more. Times are a bit tough right now. Thanks for always kicking ass and taking names. You guys are the best. P.S. LaForge and Briggs 2016. Now, first of all, Anthony, big lump sums of money are totally awesome, but so are single dollar contributions. In fact, if more people weren't, let's say, embarrassed to give just a dollar, then we'd be many, many, many more dollars in the black. And then, second thing, I ran that last statement, that postscript, LaForge and Briggs 2016, by our two Ghostbusters, Josh LaForge and Adam Briggs. Adam said, "The hell is this? Are we running mates for the White House?" And Josh said, "I won't be 35 by then." So, some clarification is in order, Anthony. Feel free to tell us your campaign plans for Mr. LaForge and Mr. Briggs in 2016 in this episode's comments or on the forums, whatever you got to do. We're all a bit curious about that. And also, there's another way you can contribute. It's very, very super easy. We know you buy stuff on Amazon. All of us buy stuff on Amazon. If you go to nerdyshow.com and you follow the Amazon link on the front page, whether you live in the United States, UK, or Canada, a percentage of all of your purchases can go directly to us. No extra money for you, a bunch of extra money for us, and all you got to do is go to nerdyshow.com instead of amazon.com, follow the through links, and then buy whatever you were going to buy anyway.
Maybe buy the anyway. New Weird Al album.
Yeah. In fact, if you can follow the links on this episode's page to buy a copy of Mandatory Fun, and it will, like, whether it's MP3s or physical CDs, a part of that will go to Nerdy Show, and that's true of any other items that we link to on our episode pages.
I mean, really, you guys can't do another couple of clicks? You that lazy? Really?
We appreciate it. Don't listen to Tony. He's mean. He's mean, and he kicks kittens.
I do. Fuck kittens.
That's awful.
That's uncalled for.
You just
for.
Hate kittens.
I do hate kittens. Listen, if you had seen kittens do what I have seen kittens do, you'd be kicking them right there with me.
If you want to check out more podcasts from the Nerdy Show Network, or maybe some of our articles and videos, just head over to nerdyshow.com. Or you can subscribe to our podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes to get all the latest. And if you're looking for a good place to get started, just head over to nerdyshow.com and click the Greatest Hits button on our front page for a selection of our favorite episodes and biggest interviews. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Hex.
Bye, I'm Tony the Kitten Kicker.
Bye, I'm Mike.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Taking us out is a really unique track. It's another song from the 26 and a half Weird Al tribute record, but this is performed by Weird Al's band and tells the story of their collective rise to fame. Weird Al the musician isn't just one man. No, He's also Jim Chemo West, Steve J, John Bermuda Schwartz, and Ruben Valtierra. And this is their story, performed by them.
Ever wonder what it's like in Al's band? Kind of complicated, but we'll tell you what we can. Lots of people ask us what goes on in Al's band. This is our song, and we'll start where we began. Back in the beginning, before we started, Al sent songs to Dr. Demento. Then met John, who played the drums, and then he said we should start a band. That was the moment the fun began. Then met Steven, he became the bass man. He knew Jim, who played guitar, and then Al had his band. Show with Missy Persons, playing our best, but got booed by their fans. We cut our first album in 3 days.
After that, we knew what to do.
We hit the road on tour, and then we were on our way.
Happy to be playing our music for you.
Then, before we knew it, we started something. We got to make our second album. That's when it was a hit. And at our command, we were to be stupid on plastic bowl vines with ice cream pressed against our foreheads. Johnny Carson asked if we would play polkas on his TV show.
We got some help from the Tonight Show band.
Polka party and went featuring Christmas at Ground Zero. And it couldn't shine for too long, but it had some good songs. Then we joined a tour with the Monkees,
going on the road with Mickey, Dave, and Big Whiskey.
Found our keyboard man.
I am Ruben, how do you do?
He took him in and put him in a coma.
Now he plays piano and he also plays a chord.
Then we went and jumped off of the keyboard and reached Nirvana. And then came out of blues and wearing horns and silver paint, just like the Chili Peppers do work it. When we met that rock video, Canada was next in line for Al's band. That was where we learned how to say Saskatchewan. We were getting popular outside our native land. That opened the door to a world full of fans. So we went to Oz and to New Zealand. When we did that hair day, the Amish video, we were out standing in our field. Then we all went running with the scissors. The saga began. Was more than all about Candy Yums, who were featured on The Simpsons as animated characters. An honor for all of us. Never get tired of playing in Al's band. So much fun to play all the styles that we do.
How about a solo from the drummer of the band?
Take it now, Bermuda, don't make it too bland.
I'll add percussion to lend a hand.
See us play when you can.
Then you can see for yourself what is
making all of this happen. You're the reason why we play.
Haven't told you everything we do.
We'll have to save it for part two. There's so much to talk about with Al's band.
Pardon us for rambling, it went longer than we planned.
That's a little bit of what it's like in Al's band.
This is our
song. Come and see us when you can. One big happy family right here in Al's band.
Now that we told you, we hope you understand
why we love see us if you can.
Hey you! Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. We mean that. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.